Great. Okay, great, gang. We are officially started now. It is exactly 11 o'clock on my time here. I want to thank you, everybody. I want to welcome everybody to the call, especially we have some new power agents on the call every month as we do, and we've got people all over the world. So let me just go through a couple logistic things. It'll take a couple of minutes, and then we'll get into the actual call itself. So first of all, we're recording this call. So what will happen is at the end of the call, sometime next week, the call gets edited and cleaned up, and then it's posted on the Power Program website. So next week, if you want to listen to this again, and if you want to listen to other months from previous Power Hours with me, they're also on the website. You have to be logged in to listen to them. The next thing is you are all muted right now. I'm going to repeat this again because I hear people that keep calling in last minute. But to unmute yourself so I can hear you, you simply have to hit *6 on your keypad one time. It takes about 10 seconds and then I'll hear you. And I want you to start to think about right now, what's the challenge that you're having in your career that you'd like me to give you some advice on? Now, this could be an overall, like, Daryl, I'm just not feeling motivated, or Daryl, I've got no listings, what's the best way? You know, there's really no stupid question, because I promise you, whatever question you ask, like if you even ask a bad question, I will, if you think it's a bad question, I'll still use that as a jumping point to teach some other stuff and to embellish on it and to help you with your questions. So don't be a voyeur, don't be shy. This is your opportunity to have a breakthrough by getting something specifically answered that you need help with. It also could be dialogue on how to handle an objection or calling a FSBO or an expired or on a listing appointment. So, all right, so we're going to do that in a minute. I'm going to open up the call to people that have questions. So I want you to start to think about what if there was one valuable thing for you to get answered about in any aspect of your business or even in your personal life about staying managing your time and dealing with challenges, you know, let's talk about that. In addition, let me remind you, part of the call too is what I'm going to do is go over the magazine. Every month we have a magazine on the website that you can only access after you've logged in with your username and password. I know some people, they lose their username and password and they can't find it. So we can't help you with that on the call right now. But what you can do is send an email through the website and somebody will get back to you. It won't happen during this call, but eventually, late by the end of the day, somebody will get to you. If you can't get into the website as I go through the digital magazine, don't worry about it. Just take notes as to what I say and the page numbers, and you can refer back to it later. Okay, so that's it. Oh, and there's one last thing is part of the magazine is a transcription of an interview. Now, this month we have Diana Denton. And Diana Denton is an agent and co-op banker in like the Chicagoland area. And she's an incredible agent, does great business, works with some high-end stuff. I really encourage you to listen to that interview this month, which is also on the website. We transcribed it so you can listen, you can read along, you can make notes. Very powerful woman. And then next month, we have one of our coaching students who's doing one-on-one coaching with me, actually. His name is Miguel Maria, and he's an incredible guy doing some fabulous stuff. Not only does he do a ton of transactions and a ton of money that he generates in his business, but he also buys and sells real estate and flips it. And so he's juggling a lot of balls, and that interview is going to be awesome, and that's going to be next month. Okay, so that's it for all the logistic stuff. Let's get into this. So I'm going to start off with the coaching of people, and I'll open up the call in a minute, and I'll remind you how to do that in a second. But let me first get a hold of Leah. Leah, are you on the phone? Now, Leah, to unmute yourself so I can hear you, you'll hit *6 on your keypad one time and just give it about 10 seconds, and then I'll be able to hear you. So, Leah, if you're on the call from Vegas, if you will hit *6 one time and tell me. Hey, hi, Leah. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
All right, good, hon. Well, thanks for waking up early. What time is it there now?
8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, so maybe that's not too early for you,
Well,
but
it's
that would
only
be.
early when you work till 1 in the morning.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Okay, so Leah, your question that you had, and you could embellish, and I want to read it, and you were so great. And this is what I want power agents to do if they can, is to email it ahead of time to me like you did. You said so. You had three questions. One is it legal or ethical to send a letter to a listing that's been listed for a really long time, but it's still listed, and but you want to drop them a letter so when it expires that they would call you. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so great question, Leah. Here's what I would say. There's two, and gang, this is what I mean. Like when you ask me a question, I'm going to embellish on the question so that way everybody gets value at all different levels of production. So, Leah, first of all, if somebody is listed with another agent currently, and for you to send a letter, it's ethically not okay to do that because you are kind of interfering with the relationship of with that listing agent. So I wouldn't do that. The second thing is, if you try to be like, creative, where you sent the letter out as if it was not directed to the homeowner, like it was a mass mailing that you did, I still wouldn't do that because of the integrity issue of yourself and your own soul, if you will. So I would just stay clear of that. Now, with that said, here's my exception to that thinking, is if somebody hires a discount broker, those flat fee brokers, and everybody listen up to this, where they pay, let's say, $400 or $500, and that listing broker, the discount broker, what they're giving for that flat fee is to be listed on the MLS and maybe get some BS yard signs or something like that. Those people, I would consider them not listed. Now, here's why my thinking is that way, is that those discount brokers that say pay a flat fee and we're going to give you this, this, and this, but there's no ongoing relationship with that seller. There's no, like, they're not negotiating offers for them. They're not dealing with showings. They're not setting up showings for the homeowner. Where they're not dealing with a licensed agent on ongoing servicing, I think, in my opinion, all bets are off. And you can pursue that listing
Okay.
even while it's listed, okay? And the reason why my thinking is that is the flat fee broker, they offered, hey, we're going to do this and this for a flat fee, and then we're done with you. Well, their relationship has now ended with them once they gave the service that they promised, which is to get on MLS and a couple other things, a package or a letter system or whatever. And so, and the other thing is, what I really don't like about the flat fee brokers, I think it really hurts our industry because homeowners, I think they think they should be getting more for what they're paying for, and they don't realize really how they're hurting themselves. Now, if I were to call a homeowner who's on a with a discounted broker, and I get in the door. Which, by the way, they're easy to get in the door, right? Because if they paid this flat fee broker and they put it on MLS, that means they're willing to work with an agent. And
Right.
so when you think about it, gang, now you know what? I never said this before, and as I'm talking, Leah, this is really brilliant what I'm about to say, even especially because I came up with it. When we're looking for leads for FSBOs and expireds to call, I would say look at the discount broker's inventory and those like our lead sheets, and those are probably easy to get into because the homeowner knows they're on MLS and they're willing to work with agents. So if you called somebody who listed with a flat fee broker, they're probably going to get let you in the door pretty easily. And I would go over there, see the property, and then kind of segue into, may you sit? Can I sit down with you and just have a few, ask you a few other questions about what you're trying to accomplish? And with that question, and I sit down with the homeowner, I would then turn it into a listing appointment, showing them the challenges they have with the business model that they have by just paying a flat fee and getting on MLS. It's kind of like going to court. Not represent having representation, and here's what I mean by that analogy. And I think I might have done this on the last conference call. I'm going to role play with you, Leah, all right?
Okay.
And by the way, I didn't forget your other questions. Like I said, I'm embellishing on your question to come up with some additional stuff. By the way, is this helping so far?
Yes. Definitely
okay.
Some good lead information.
Okay, great. So let's say, Leah, you're a homeowner, and I'd say, you know, one of the problems you have, Leah, with this just paying the fee and getting on MLS is the agents that are coming to show your property are actually representing the buyer. They're not representing you. And you are actually paying the fee for that. So, for example, let's say, Leah, somebody was going to sue you and you had to go to court. My first question is, would you go to court without your own attorney?
Oh, definitely not.
Okay, good. Of course not. That would be silly. Now, what would even be sillier, but I'm going to ask the question anyway, is let's pretend you went to court without an attorney and you paid the attorney's fee of the person who's suing you. Would you do that?
No, that'd be a waste.
Yeah, that would be beyond ridiculous, right? Well, in a sense, that's what you've done here. You know, by you putting it on the multiple listing service with this flat fee broker, and you're saying to the agents, whoever brings me a buyer, I'm going to pay them the selling broker's fee. Well, that agent is actually representing the buyer. Their job, like an attorney representing a plaintiff, their job is to represent their interests, and you're paying for that. So you're paying to have a licensed trained agent in the state of Nevada to work against you. So if you're willing to at least pay that 3%, why don't you pay the additional 3% to have an agent who's actually representing you with the other agents who are representing their buyers? Plus, with that small extra percentage, you're having me actually spend my money to market your property, to get it promoted, to bring as many qualified buyers through and get your property sold. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Isn't that great? So, all right, so I would look at those flat fee broker listings as actually listing leads. Now, by the way, I forgot to say this. Now, Leah, I know you're a broker, so this doesn't apply to you, but for everybody else on the call, you have to do whatever your broker's policy is. Your broker may say, no, the fact that they're on MLS, you know, we can't call these people, and that would be interference with a listing, and so we're going to stay away from those. Then if that's what your broker says, then that's what you should do. I will say this to everybody, though, on this last point, and then, Leah, I'll go to your next question. Sometimes, a lot of times, we, agents and even brokers, owners, confuse license law with MLS rules. MLS rules are not what regulates and manages our license. Now, I'm in New York, and every state has their own license laws, but here's one thing that's pretty much accurate across all the states, and that is when you're hired by somebody, you have a fiduciary relationship with them that you must, you know, fulfill, okay? And so if we look at that concept, when a flat fee broker gets the fee and they deliver the MLS and all the other things that they say, they have now completed their fiduciary responsibility. They are no longer representing that seller anymore past the promise that that homeowner paid for. Therefore, it, from a legal standpoint, from a license law standpoint, it's totally okay to call somebody who lists with a discount broker, unless that discount broker has in the agreement that they are going to negotiate deals for them, they are going to deal with other agents in the showing. So that would be the exception there. Okay, so did you like that so far, Leah?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, great. Now, Leah, the next question. And when I'm done with Leah's question, I'm going to open up this call to other people. So start to think about what you want to ask me when I'm done with the second part with Leah. Leah, you actually asked two questions, and I said that it's this last part because they're kind of the same answer. I'm going to read what you wrote to me when you emailed it to me. You said, I'm a broker with no agents under me, so I'm an island. I haven't had a ton of problems with this. But do you have any suggestions on how to show strengths, even though I'm not a big brokerage? And then you asked me, when I was asked on a listing appointment, I was recently asked how many listings I had. I answered I had 3 because my listings sell fast. I did get the listing, which is good. Congratulations, Leah. Okay. But was my answer the best way to respond, or do you have an additional ideas of how to fake it and make it until I get my 20 listings? Is that pretty much the question, Leah? Is there anything you want to add to that? Or
no, like I said, I've been an agent for about 8 years, a broker for 2, and I don't run into the problem very often, but I do always worry that I'm going to be asked that, so I'd like to make sure my answer is decent, or if you had any other suggestions.
Yeah, that's great. Well, first of all, now you see, you just brought up something else for me to use as a teaching point for everybody, is that when you're worried about something coming up on a listing appointment, sometimes you can create that coming up because that's kind of a focus that you have. Okay. So you want to be careful of that insecurity on that piece. For example, some agents, they'll tell me, Daryl, I keep getting, you know, the commission objection, or I keep getting the price objection, or I keep getting asked how long you've been in real estate. And when you keep getting the same, and I'm not saying you are, you said you haven't gotten it, so you're fine, but again, I'm teaching everybody else, that if you keep getting the same kind of objection over and over again, it's really not them, it's you. Somehow you, in the way you're speaking, the way you're delivering, the hesitation, somehow you're creating that question in people's minds. So for everybody on the call, if you keep getting the same objection, whatever it is, you want to look in the mirror what you're doing that's creating that. Okay. Now, so your question, Leah, is kind of 2 points, which is because you're we would call a mom and pop office, and plus not having a lot of listings, yeah, that could come up as a question. So here's what I would say if you get that. And I think you handled that well. The fact that you got the listing when they asked you that question, you obviously handled it well. And by the way, how long have you been a broker, you said? How many years?
2 years this month.
2 years. And how many listings did you get this year, Leah?
About 6.
Okay. So here's what I would say. What was your average list price, by the way?
Oh, boy.
All right, now watch.
Go ahead.
Well, this is a good point, the fact that you hesitated, yeah? So there's a couple of things you want to be real. All right, let me give you this suggestion. First of all,
are we role-playing? Am I supposed to be more confident?
No, what I want you to do is, and for everybody on the call too, it's really good for you to know your numbers, you know, not just yourself, but also for your office. Let me give you some things to look at as far as numbers, because Leah, if you can find something that you're number one in, that will help you also if something like this comes up in the future. So for example, what's your average listing price compared to the average listing price on the MLS? Now, gang, I'll give you a for instance. If let's say, you know, regardless of how many listings you have, if let's say your individual average or your company's individual average is taking all the listings that you've listed in the past 12 months, last 12 weeks, whatever time frame you want to use, and let's say your average is $750,000, but the MLS average is in your area or in your zone or in your market is $625,000. Well, that means your average client is higher. It's a higher-end homeowner than the average for the area. Are you following me, Leah?
Yeah.
Now, when you do that, right, you can really show that as a strength of yours. Another strength to look at is what is the average marketing time for your listings from the time that you list them to the time they go to contract compared to that of the MLS. What is the average contract to closing number of days? What is the average list price to sales price ratio? Now, sometimes people ask me, how do you get these numbers? You can get these numbers on MLS, you know, and if you don't know how to use your MLS to pull these numbers, then my next tip for you is going to be to actually get to take a class at your board of realtors to understand the how to use MLS better. Okay, so that's the first thing. So Aaliyah, kind of look at your numbers and see if there's a strength in all of your numbers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let me tell you one thing too. The reason why my numbers aren't as great as I'd like them to be is,
yeah,
unfortunately, I've been focusing on cash investors as a buyer's agent and not focusing where I've learned through you I need to be and building my inventory.
Okay,
so
good,
this remainder of the year and next year will be very, very different for me.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad that you got that, and you came to the seminar I did in the 3-hour seminar I did in Vegas just recently.
Yes, I did. Loved every minute of it.
Yeah, thank you. You guys are great. You're a great audience. All right, so now here's the next thing, Leah, is to answer you specifically, right, is what I would say if a homeowner asks me, you know, how long you've been in business or how many listings do you have or how many have you gotten or anything like that, I would say, well, let me explain my business model to you, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, is, you know, what, as you know, there's only 168 hours in a week. I mean, if you take 24 hours and multiply it by 7, there's 168 hours. And because of that, time is a resource. Now, some companies or some agents, the business model that they choose to do is a high volume in the number of sellers that they hire, meaning they get a lot of listings. Yet the number of those that sell in comparison to what they list is not as good as maybe some homeowners would like. And the reason why is because they're going for the numbers. They're going for a numbers game. Now, I decided to go a different route. I don't have agents, which means that the money that comes from my sellers doesn't get split with agents. Therefore, I net a higher revenue stream because I'm not splitting it. And because of that, I have more money to spend on my sellers in marketing their property. And because I'm not going with this big factory of just getting listings, that I'm more selective with the people that I do hire, I can take my 168 hours and spend it wisely and spend more time on fewer sellers versus trying to spread the 160 hours amongst a whole bunch of people. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's kind of like this. It's like if you look at an inexpensive car like a Kia or something, you know, a lot of inexpensive cars you can drive down the road and you'll see a lot of dealerships for those. But you probably would only see one or two Rolls Royce in the neighborhood. The Rolls Royce is a higher end product. There's fewer buyers. But because there's fewer dealerships and fewer overhead and all that stuff, the company can take the gross profit and put it into a better quality. So I decided instead of going with mass numbers and being a low-end car, I like to consider myself like the Rolls Royce of realtors, that I'm going to give you better service, more time, more energy, more money in marketing. Does that make sense?
Yes, you're hired, Daryl.
Yeah. You like that. It was good, right?
Yeah.
Now, listen, here's what I did, Leo. Here's what made that so good, right? It was when you sent me the email, I started to think, okay, like I knew the first part that I shared with you about the number of hours and the list price to sales price ratio. Like that's all the logic piece of it. But
right,
before I got on the call with you, it was like, what metaphor or analogy can I create for Leah to help illustrate that? And so just before the call, I came up with the Rolls Royce versus the low end. So I want to just stress with you and everybody else on the call, like you heard me say at the seminar, Leah, how important metaphors and analogies are. Because when you do that, it's like it so slams it so well. It's almost like it's hard to argue with common sense when you're using a metaphor analogy. Okay?
Okay.
All right, great questions, Leah. Now, Leah, what I'm going to ask you to do is hit *6 again on your keypad just one time, and that's going to put you back on mute, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Leah. And by the way, as you're muting yourself, Leah, I just want to tell you the dialogue that I just did for you is we're recording the call, so this is going to be on the website next week. So if you want to listen to it again, if you pay attention to the time, this was 11:26 now, so around 11:10, 11:15 is when you and I started this, so you can kind of skip ahead on the recording and listen to it again. All right. Does somebody else have a question about something that you need help with? And I want to just tell you how to do this. Some of you called in late. So how you do it is if you hit star 6 on your keypad just one time, give it about 10 seconds for it to kick in, and then I'll be able to hear you. So it'll be first come, first serve. So who has a question that you want to ask me about anything in your business, money, time management, listings, prospecting, buyers? Hit star 6 on your keypad one time. And hopefully there's going to be some. There's so many people on this call. I hope somebody, I hear somebody. Who's there?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, who's this?
This is Pat Kiesk.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
And, Pat, do we have somebody else that unmuted themselves other
yes.
than Pat?
Yes.
Okay, great. You stay right there, okay? So let me deal with Pat first. You don't have to unmute yourself. Just hang in there. So, Pat, where are you from, by the way?
San Mateo, which is the San Francisco Peninsula.
Okay, great. All right, good. Yeah, we're just out in California not too long ago. You guys were another awesome audience. Now, by the way, Pat, I don't know if it's you or if it's my other caller, but I think I might be on a speakerphone. And if I am, if you can take me off the speakerphone, anybody, because that creates a bit of an echo.
Okay.
All right, so Pat, what's your question, hon?
I have been a top agent, et cetera, but I have things go on in my life, and I kind of lost a bit of my mojo, so to speak.
Yeah.
And there are two questions. One is, where do you think that I ought to focus my attention? And the other thing is, where can we get a really good close-em listing presentation that will wow them?
Okay, great. So, Pat, let me ask you a few questions to help you with this. And this is a great question. Now, by the way, everybody keep something in mind. Even though Pat is a top producer and she's not in touch, you didn't lose it, Pat. You're just not in touch with your mojo. I'm going to answer this so everybody can get value, because I know all of us on this call, from time to time, we kind of lose our mojo. You know, we're not feeling motivated or something. And I still have somebody on has me on speakerphone. And whoever that is, if you'll hit star 6, that will mute you or take me off the speakerphone. The app. Okay. Whoever just did it, you did it. You're fine. We're fine. It just went away. So, Pat, you're still with me, though, right?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay, great, 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 great. Thank you, whoever did that to listen. That was awesome. Okay, now, Pat, let me ask you a few questions. Let's look at when you say you were a top producer, when was that?
I think I steadily lost a little bit of it, but it just all of a sudden went kabam about 2.5-3 years ago.
Okay, so for about three years, you've been probably frustrated about this, I'm guessing?
Yes, it's pathetic.
Okay, all right, Pat. So listen, here's the first thing, okay, what's really important, and I'm going to say that this is more of what you need right now than actually the listing appointment question that you just asked me, but I'm still going to answer it for you. But I want to make sure I deal with the cause, not the symptom. If you've been going on for 2.5-3 years about beating yourself up, keep comparing yourself to what you used to do, if you continue doing this, you're going to continue being where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to suggest, Pat, the problem is not what you're doing, but it's who you're being that's creating the results that you're getting right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you need to, I'm going to tell you this analogy that I use in my Smile keynote seminar, because it's also in my Smile book that talks about this. is that when I used to when I went to New Zealand with my family, we went in a hot air balloon. I was doing a seminar there, like a series of seminars, and so one of my off days we did hot air ballooning. And while we were in the hot air balloon, I asked the balloonist, I said, how do you steer this? And he explained to me that there is these currents in the air, like in the ocean. And what you need to do is if your balloon is going in a direction you don't want, well, you can complain to the wind, you can yell at the wind, you can cry to the wind, you can just be, you know, nasty about the wind, you can actually talk to your friends about the wind and have a meeting about the wind, all this stuff, and the wind doesn't care. The wind doesn't care about what you think or how you feel or what you think should change. It only cares about what you do, and what you have to do is let go of the baggage so your balloon can rise to a different level to catch a different current to go in the direction you want. Are you with me? Patty, are you still there?
Yeah.
Did you hear me? Oh, okay, yeah. Did you hear what I just said about the balloon, or did I lose you?
Well, I heard about, I got to the point, and then I think that something caught my attention. But I got to the point where you can scream and yell at the wind, and the wind doesn't care.
Okay, here's the next part. Yeah, so what you need to do, the balloonist told me, is that what you have to do is let go of the baggage in the balloon and have the balloon rise to a different level. So that way you'll catch a new current to bring you in the direction you want to go. Do you follow me? So
okay.
Here's the analogy, and here's my point, Pat, is you have to let go of the baggage on what you used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you keep holding on to your baggage, it's going to keep you right where you are. It's kind of like you can't drive a car staring in the rearview mirror. You're going to crash. You need to look forward when you're driving your car, not look backwards. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you can forgive yourself and stop comparing, like when I asked you, like, how is it going or something, you said, but comparing it to 2-3 years ago, you said, yeah, it's pathetic. You know, that's going to keep holding you back. So how do you let go of the baggage? Well, one of the best ways to do that is to get recommitted to something other than you committed to comparing.
Okay.
See, when you keep saying, okay, this is not how it should be, this is not who I am, this is not what I used to do, you're actually staying committed to the old Pat, which is going to keep you where you are right now. So what you have to do is let go of that and say, okay, I'm reinventing myself. What am I committed to having happen in my life over the next 12 months? What can I get excited about? Now, none of us make money just to make money. We usually make money because there's something important in our life that inspires us. It could be your children. It could be your grandchildren. It could be to buy investment property. It could be to get out of debt. It could be to something. So the first thing I'm going to tell you, we're not going to do it now, but when you get off the call, Pat, I want you to really start to think about what can you get excited about that's going to source your energy, as opposed to waking up every morning into the same problems, same concerns, same worries that you're probably waking up into now. Because when you wake up into that, that's not a life worth smiling about. Is this helping you so far?
Yes. Uh-huh. It is.
All right. All right, good. So how you look forward in driving the car is you got to be clear about where you're going. You know, what is it? What's the end? This destination for you. So that way, that'll help you to stop keep comparing. And then once you're clear about what that next level is and what you want to create, you know, you'll put a dollar amount to it, right? If it's something for the kids or for the grandkids or whatever, it's like, all right, how much money do I need to help facilitate that which I want? All right, so once you've got that, it's like, all right, now I'm going to step up. I'm going to start working towards it. All right, now that's the first piece. Let me answer the second question that you asked, which is, how do you have an ass-kicking, I don't think you said it that way, but how to have a butt-kicking listing presentation? Is that what you asked?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we'll get into the listing and selling piece. So the what are you using now? What are you using to get to when you go on an appointment?
When I wasn't, you know, recently I've gotten listings and stuff like that because either somebody referred them to me or
yes.
or something like that. But before, what I was essentially using is a Coldwell Banker, you know, pre-printed presentation. And at one point I went to, you remember like Star Power? I had gone to Star Power and I was going, and I came back and they said, you know, you have to have a letter that kind of tells about you. So I came back from the Star Power thing and I got a call from this guy, and basically what he said to me is, I'm not going to give you this listing, but I've heard that I should interview with three people. And so, you know, knowing that I'm probably going to use the agent that bought my house, are you willing to come and talk to us? And I said, sure. Mm-hmm. And for 3 days I worked on this, excuse my French, kick-ass letter. And I was by myself, but I said that on my team I have a stager and a coordinator, project listing coordinator and all of that business. And I used everybody that I know that I've, but I said, that's my team. And I wrote this incredible letter and I put it in with kind of the package, the Coldwell Banker package. And I stopped in front of the house and my friend ran up to the door and dropped a FedEx envelope in front of the door. And I came back. And when I showed up at my listing presentation, I ended up getting the listing. And I did it just for practice. Because, I mean, he told me he was not going to use me. But I thought, you know, well, and
what
it took
the hell?
Me 3 days to write that letter. But, you know, I got the listing, and then everybody told me I'd never sell it for that price. That they didn't tell me that. My friend.
All right, well, let's skip all. Let's not go down that part about the selling part. Let's focus on what you just did. So, because this, and by the way, I hope people are not, the problem with conference calls is that people can drift, and I hope people are not drifting, because you said some really great stuff there, and I'm going to highlight it. So, first of all, what you said was that you created this virtual team, but it's not really a team. Like some agents say, well, when they hear team, they think of, well, you've got a buyer's agent, you've got a receptionist, and you've got, you know, a showing agent. So when we hear team, we hear a top agent that has several people working under them. But what you learned from Star Power was that anybody that you refer business to, whether it's an attorney, a title company, home inspector, all those people, you listed that in the letter, and you said, this is your team. And so you created the perception of having a ton of people working for you, which is brilliant.
Well, we have people at the front desk, and we have people that are handling putting our ads in the paper and that sort of thing. And so I used everybody in the office that ever touches any piece of mine.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, so that's the first thing. So for everybody on the call, you can now you refer to it as a letter, but that could be like a flyer. That could be a couple of pages in your listing conversation book or on your PowerPoint or whatever you use when you're sitting in front of the seller. You show your team. And so don't you all, the rest of you on this call, get hung up on the word letter that Pat was using. It's just some visual representation. All right. That was powerful, number one. Number two, Pat, is that I am going to bet that you were probably more excited about this team that you created than you were with the pre-printed stuff that you have from Coldwell Banker. Am I right in assuming that?
Oh, yeah. I just thought that I was the candy kid with the gummy eyeballs and the sticky lips.
Now, listen, this is going to help you and everybody else. This is what's real important, Pat. There is no right way to do a listing appointment. There's no prepackaged buying anything on how to do a listing appointment. There is whatever you're passionate and enthusiastic about that you can convey to a homeowner. You see, when you're doing somebody else's script, like Coldwell Banker gave you, here's stuff to talk about on a listing appointment. Well, that's not you, Pat. That's some corporate guy in a building in their headquarters that created this. And that's not you. So when you try and deliver somebody else's material, then it feels inauthentic. You feel like you're talking at people. You're not talking with them. But more importantly, people are not getting sold by your enthusiasm because you're not enthusiastic because it's not you to begin with. Are you hearing me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what's important is that you sit down, Pat, and you think about what's valuable about Pat. What can Pat bring to the table for a homeowner? Now, you're going to look at Coel Banker's advertising, and you're going to look at the radio stuff and the TV stuff and your office and open houses and how you have a lockbox. So you're going to look at your marketing that you do, but you need to pull from those things the stuff that you just tickles you. Those things that really speak to you, that say, yeah, this is friggin', this piece right here that Coel Banker has is really so awesome. Now, they might have this thing that's on a page with some other stuff. So what you should do is, well, I don't want that other stuff to distract the homeowner or distract me. So I'm just going to pull this one ad or this one website or this one campaign that Coel Banker has. I'm going to create my own flyer. And I'm going to put that in my book, and I'm going to talk. That's going to be one of the things I'm going to talk about. So what I want you to do, Pat, is sit down and think about what's all the valuable resources that you have for a homeowner to help get their property sold and create a visual representation, a book, to communicate this to a homeowner. Is this making sense so far?
Yes, uh-huh.
Because people, Pat, do not list with companies. People list with people. So people get sold by your own enthusiasm for what you're sharing.
Okay.
Now, that's why what I just said is more important than anything that's on a page. You know, I don't normally teach this, Pat, but I'm going to say it just to help illustrate it. When I went on a listing appointment, I never used comps. I never brought a CMA. Now, the reason why I don't teach that is because that sounds so out of the box, and it would be hard for people to try and do what I did. You know, I do things. There's certain things that I know I do that maybe other people shouldn't do. So that's why I don't always teach it. But here's the point. The reason why I was able to not have to use comps to validate the price is because by the time I was done with a homeowner, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I really knew my stuff. They also knew that I was committed to them. They knew I wasn't selling them, I was serving them. They knew that I was a professional and I was powerful. And because of that, people bought Daryl. They didn't buy the price. So I didn't need the comps. People bought Daryl, not the company I was with. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, they can't buy Pat if Pat's not bought into Pat herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you need to, especially because you started the call by saying, I got how you're beating yourself up about how you used to be. You need to let go of that. We talked about how to do that. The next thing is, what do you love about what you do for people? Not what you used to do. Because that's holding you back, and because you think, yeah, I used to be like that, and I'm not that anymore. So we got to get away from that. Who is Pat now? What is Pat good at? What does Pat care about? What can Pat get excited about and say, this is what I do. This is what I'm going to do for you, Mr. and Ms. Hanana. I'm going to have this marketing tool, and this is why this tool is so great. And your passion is going to get people to list with you. Now, one last thing on this, just to talk about logistically on how to put it together. There's two ways you should not bring a folder with stuff in it because that doesn't look powerful. So one of two ways to do it, either A, have a three-ring binder with pages, which I'll talk about in a second, or some kind of iPad or laptop PowerPoint presentation. Pat, I am not a fan of iPads and laptop presentations.
Then
the reason why you're not good. So we don't have to talk about that. But everybody else on the call, the reason why I'm not a fan of it is because it's too impersonal. It's too much like a sales pitch. Printed pages in a binder, old school, still works because it's more engaging. That's my opinion. All right. So, Pat, the fact that you're on board with that, what you want to do is buy those sleeves that you can buy at the stationery store, the plastic sleeves, and then create anything. Have somebody help you if you're not tech savvy, but use Word, use PowerPoint, to print out. Like you can use PowerPoint to create a page, but then print out in color and put it in the sleeve, okay? And what you want to do is break up your conversation into three sections. The first section would have some pages about you and your credibility, you know, your license, the fact that you've been licensed as long as you've been licensed, da da da. Anything that's quick about you. It doesn't have to be 50 pages. 5, 6, 7 pages is good. The next section would be about your company. Now, when I mean your company, I don't mean marketing tools. I mean how long your office has been around, how many offices Coldwell Banker has nationwide, what's the average number of houses that your company sells, or the number of houses Coldwell Banker sells, or how many offices are in the marketplace. So we're not talking Coldwell Banker marketing tools. We're talking about Coldwell Banker bigness, Coldwell Banker offices, Coldwell Banker agents, Coldwell Banker your office, how many agents, how long it's been around. Are you following me, Pat?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wherever you can, have real visuals that represent that. And in some cases, what I recommend you do is take actual photos of your manager, an actual photo of your receptionist, an actual photo of the sales pit, the front of the office. If you guys do any local charity stuff, that validates the commitment of the company. Have a picture of wherever you can scrounge up real pictures. Real pictures always work better than stock photos. The third section is going to be your marketing. Broker's open house, public open house, lockbox, flyer, website. And every one of those that I just mentioned should be its own page. You don't want to have broker's open house and lockbox on the same page. When you have the book open, it'll distract people. They'll get confused. You're talking about open house and they're looking at the picture of a lockbox. So try and keep it very clean, very sleek. And that's essentially it, okay?
So with the number three, the marketing, the website, and what are some of the other things?
Broker's open house, public open house, yard sign, lockbox, feature sheet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything that you feel that you love. Usually when I did market, when I talked to a homeowner, Pat, everybody listen, this is cool. When I got to the point about how I market properties, I usually only got through like 3 or 4 items and they were ready to list with me. So like I only talked about MLS, broker's open house, public open house, yard sign. They would interrupt me, say, you know what, we're sold. So, and the reason why that was, I didn't have to go through all this marketing stuff. There was 2 reasons why it worked really well for me. Number one is I understood people bought people, so I focused more on the building the relationship and the rapport when I was touring the house and about my credibility. That was number one. Number two, you always use metaphors and analogies to communicate it. So when I talked about MLS, I would explain how, you know, that's like, you know, MLS is like, you know, a mall versus, you know, a mom and pop store or something. And because I use metaphors to explain each tool, it took longer to explain MLS than the average agent. An average agent would take, you know, well, you know, we put on MLS and it gets accessible to all the agents. And really, they'd spend just a minute and that was it. So, and plus metaphors and analogies always sell better than just explaining. All right. So, and that's essentially it. So do you have any questions, Pat, about what we just covered?
No, I mean, and I think what I'm hearing you is that I need to find out what my passion is, that excites me about what I do and what I have to offer, so that it sounds, it's not a 1, 2, 3, 4. I actually get excited in my voice when I'm telling it, because
exactly that. So what you just said, Pat, everybody, what Pat just said is so important. There's no, because if you said all the right stuff, but you're not excited about it, it's going to not land. It's not going to impact. It's not going to speak to people's heart. You need to speak to people's heart, not their head. And how you speak to their heart is you got to have heart in what you're saying.
Okay.
If somebody told you, Pat, about a great restaurant, or they told you about a great movie, they can describe the meal. Well, you know, it was nice. They had the steak. It was, they cooked it, and I, you know, it was just the way I like it. And, you know, they had some potatoes on the side, you know, and they had some vegetables, too. It was good. They had some butter on it. It was really nice. It was a little dark, and I kind of like that mood. Are you going to go to that restaurant, or are you going to go if I say, Pat, let me tell you something. I went to this restaurant. I've been to so many restaurants, but this one here, when I sat down, first of all, I knew it was going to be awesome. And that steak, when I, oh, my God, it was like butter. Forget about it. It melted in my mouth, and the vegetables, I didn't think it could get any better. Until I, which restaurant are you going to go, the first or the second?
The second, obviously, yeah.
Yes, and the difference is my passion behind the words, Pat. So find what you are excited about what you do, how you can help a homeowner. And I'm going to tell you, when you get that, that's your mojo, baby.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Great.
Did this help you, Pat?
It did. It kind of, you know, because I know that I'm special in many ways, but I, I'd forgotten about it.
Yeah, I'm going to give you one more exercise that actually I've learned. And then I'm going to go back to that gentleman that was on the call. He'll be our last coaching student for this month. But there's something that I'm taking a course online from Berkeley University. It's called The Science of Happiness. And I actually talked about this in my smile book before I even started taking this course. It's the same thing, is that one of the things about being happy and smiling more in your life is acknowledging the accomplishments you have in your life. Sometimes we get kind of in a rut because we're looking at all the things we're not doing, we're not accomplishing, how we used to be, everything that you just said. Now, how you get your mojo back and how you get excited again is you like you just started, you just said it. You know you have a lot to offer. You know you're a good person. You know you have things that you can contribute to people. Well, you need to get more in touch with that. And a simple exercise is you can either look at three things every day that you're grateful for. That's one way of doing it. But here's another way I think it'll help you even better, Pat. This is what works for me, is that when you get off this call, find some time where you're going to sit down and make a list of all the things that you've accomplished, Pat, in your life. Make a list of all the good characteristics about what you do for people, for your family, for the people you care about, and even for your sellers. And keep writing until you're done. At some point, you're going to have an epiphany, and it's going to be like a therapy session for you. You'll stop the list. You say, you know what, screw this. I'm back. All right, Pat?
Great. Right, thank sweet. You so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for the question. All right, hit *6, Pat, to put you back on mute. And we had our gentleman. Thank you, Pat. We had our gentleman that I said to hold there. Who was that?
Yes.
All right, who is this?
This is Diana.
Oh, I said a gentleman, and I was wrong. Sorry, Diana.
That's
so,
okay.
Diana, what can I what can I do for you?
Well, first of all, I'm really enjoying everything you're saying, and I like your illustrations. I'm a person that just really thrive on them. And hopefully you can help me with having a passion for doing open houses. I don't mind the brokers. The broker's open house, beautiful. It's just the public open house. So maybe you could help me there.
Well, Diana, here's when you don't have passion for the public open house. By the way, everybody, just to be clear, we have 5 minutes left on this call, but hang in there with me. We may go a couple minutes over. Just hang in there with me. I do want to say one thing before, in case some people have to get off right in 5 minutes. There's a lot of great forms and ideas in the magazine this month that I want you guys to look at. Now, some of this stuff you'll have to redo to customize it. These are forms and flyers that agents have given to me that I put into the magazine. So you would have to actually not use exactly what they have. You'd have to tweak it to your own, but the concepts are really great. There's something called the free over-the-phone market analysis. There's some really, really great stuff. It's very self-explanatory, so make sure you print out the magazine. You find typos, just fix it yourself. Every month, the magazine has incredible stuff in it. You're not going to be able to use them all. because it'll be overwhelming. So every month, just use one or two new flyers, new pages, and that's all you have to do. All right, now, Diana, let me ask you. It's Diana, correct?
You got it. Mm-hmm.
Diana, is your what is it that you don't like about public open houses? Because I think they're awesome, and there's a reason why I think that. So what's your challenge with them?
I don't know. It's just that I have a strong compassion in helping people, but it's just with the open houses that I kind of shy back from listings. I guess it's having to have the signs, and I don't know. I don't want to sound weird, but that's, I just really don't enjoy it so much.
All right, so I'm sorry, Diane. I'm a little unclear. So you said you do like listings or you don't like listings?
I do like listings, just the part of working with the open house, but maybe you can help me, you know, get a better understanding on it. And it sounds like you're too.
Yeah, so here's what I'll say, Diane, about the open houses. First of all, let me give you a technique that maybe you're going to like more, okay?
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. And everybody, you're going to love this. Now, some of you may have heard me talk about this. If you're a longtime student of mine, if you're not, you haven't, hang on. This is a butt kicker right now. Diana, here's one of the things that why people don't like the open houses is because there isn't clarity of who's coming through. Like sometimes people, and I'm going to rush this through so I can get it all in before people have to hang up. That some people that come through are buyers and some people are nosy neighbors, and the nosy neighbors lie. And so it kind of dampens like the whole experience for the realtor, because we really want to help people and we don't realize who the hell we're actually talking to, if it's a real person that we can help or if it's just a neighbor checking it out. Are you following me so far?
Yes, I am.
So what I recommend that you do is before you do the public open house, you actually have what's called a neighborhood open house. Let me explain. What you'll do is when you get the listing, you'll tell the homeowner, you know, one of the best buyers that we can find are buyers that have an emotional connection to the neighborhood and then emotional connection to the house. If they have an emotional connection to the neighborhood, they're actually willing to pay more money because there's something about the neighborhood they love. Now, the ones that do the highest bidding are the ones where they know of a friend, family, or in the neighborhood, and that's one of the reasons why they're moving. So what I do, which is different from other agents, is to try and find those buyers. And how I do that is I first do an open house for the neighbors, only the neighbors, to come see the property, because it's very possible that they may have a friend or family who's thinking about buying in the neighborhood. If by doing that, you increases our odds of getting the best possible offer. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I know you love this. This is great. Now here's what, boy, it's getting even better. It's even better, Diane. So what you do is you tell the homeowner that before the public open house, you're going to schedule an open house just for the neighbors, and you're going to invite them. Now, to encourage them to come, I need to make sure that you're not, it's a day when you guys aren't home, so that way I can get real honest feedback from people, because you know your neighbors, if they know you're in the house, they're not going to tell me what they really think about your home, and we want to get that information so I can share it with you, so that way if we need to make any kind of minor change in a marketing standpoint, we can do that. So we need to pick a day when you're not home, and we're going to run with that. Now, I'm not going to advertise it. I'm not putting balloons out on the corners, because it's just for the neighbors. Now, then what you do, Diana, is you're going to do a mailing, like a wedding invitation. Go to Staples, Office Depot, Office Max, and print out and create a wedding invitation looking envelope piece. And it's going to say on the front, you're invited, dot, dot, dot. So it looks like a wedding. They open it up and it says, you're personally invited to attend a neighborhood open house for the house at 1010 Hanahana Lane. Now you need to put this, Diana, in this invitation. You're going to say, because the homeowners will not be home, as their agent, I will be facilitating this open house for them. And I look forward to meeting you, and come anytime that works for you. I look forward to meeting you. If you tell, Diana, 50 neighbors that the homeowner's not going to be home, I guarantee you a majority of those 50 people, you're probably people who are going to show up because they want to check out the homeowner's house. Are you following me?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it gets better. Now, when they come through the house, Diana, because you know you're not selling the house because these are neighbors, you're going to go through the property with these neighbors and say, thanks for coming. Where do you live? Oh, you live at 1010 Hanahan. Oh, that's really great. Oh, you have a different style than this house. How long have you lived in the neighborhood? Have you ever thought about moving? If you were going to move to, where would you move to? When was the last time you did a market analysis? Why don't I do this? I don't mind. Why don't I find the time when over the next couple of days I can come over, take a look on the inside, and give you an updated market analysis, because I believe every homeowner should have that because it's one of their biggest and most important assets. So if you had 49 people show up, Diana, you're going to probably get at least 25 to 30 listing appointments to do CMAs for people.
Oh, okay.
Now, the last part of this, Diana, which is what you started with, is saying that you don't like the public open houses. Here's what we just did. You do the neighborhood open house. You have all the neighbors come through first. You get that out of the way. Now, when you do your public open house, you're going to get real buyers coming through, not the nosy neighbors. And even if the nosy neighbor comes back, they're probably coming back because they have a friend they want to show it to. And plus, you're going to recognize them because you met them already, and that's going to really help. And I think you're going to fall more in love with doing open houses for the public when you start doing neighborhood open houses. Do you like that?
I really do. Really do. Just a question on that. With the invitation, do I just personally drop it by their homes in the neighborhood, the neighbors?
No, what I would do is I would actually put one of those real stamps on it, you know, because I want to create the illusion that it is a neighbor, it is like a wedding invitation, because then people will open it. So I'd actually hand address the envelopes. You're only sending out 50. And so it'll be very impressive. And then the last thing is I would put an open house balloons just by the front door, so that way it'll be inviting for people, because the neighbors, if they don't see some kind of something, they, even though they have the invitation, the date, the time, if they don't see it's open, they may feel uncomfortable. So that's the only place that I would put the balloon and the sign, okay?
Okay, wonderful. And is there a way on your website where I can find more of how to do open houses, you know, just what you suggest?
This is all I got for us right now. I will tell you the one thing that would cover it in more detail is if you go to, let me just see, I'm going to tell you, Power Agent Learning Specialist. Give me 1 second, everybody, and then I'm going to say goodbye. If you go to, after you're logged into the Power Program website and you click on Classroom, there is a thing, called, Power Agent Learning Systems. It's the second choice in Classroom. And you're going to see a bunch of audio CDs, and the one that will have something about open houses and how to do them the right way, it's called Get Your Listing Sold. And usually people who are not power agents, they would pay $197, so you get a $100 discount, so you only pay $97 for that. So that would be my recommendation, okay?
Okay. There's a cost for it, you think?
Yeah, there's a cost for it, and you'll see it on, just go do what I said, and you'll check it out and see if it's something you want to do, okay? All right, so everyway, thank you.
How much is it?
It's instead of $197, it's $97, okay?
Okay.
So you save $100. All right. All right, gang, so this is the end of our call. So listen, last thing I want to tell you, don't hang up yet, is that we're going into a time of year where there's going to be fewer buyers, but the buyers that come out during the holidays or the weather, especially in your Northeast where it gets colder, they're got to be serious. So start to look at the buyers. You know, I'm a fan of building listing inventory, but we're starting to look at serious buyers coming out. So keep that in mind. That's number one. Number two is on the Power Program website, there's a great visual that I want to tell you about. And that is the 10 reasons to list during the holidays. If you go to Classroom on the Power Program website, all the way at the bottom, it says visuals for sellers. It says the 10 reasons to list during the holidays, because you're going to start getting holiday objections with Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Hanukkah. This is a great flyer, so use that. All right, gang. Thank you for calling in. You guys are wonderful. Don't forget, the more people you help, the more money you make. So the money you make is really a gauge and a reflection of how many people you help move from point A to point B in their life. So go out there and serve a lot of people. Don't sell. Help them get to their next level. and you will get paid for it. God bless you. I'll talk to you guys on the next call. Thank you.
Thank you.